The text is the Gospel reading from St. Mark. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at this teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were also amazed, and they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority? He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. Here ends our text. "Do you see what I see?" That's a line from a Christmas song. But it's not important whether you see what I see. But do you see what the people of Capernaum and that evil spirit saw? The people saw an amazing teacher before them. Do you? Our bulletin insert has the word amazed twice. And though the two different Greek words are synonyms, there are nuances in both. The first word has the idea of being struck in the mind. We would say the people were astonished at Jesus' teaching. The second word comes from a root meaning to render immovable. So we might say the people were stunned at Jesus' teaching and his power over evil spirits. What astonished and stunned the people was not some new teaching to them that they never heard. You get that idea of the way the insert translates. What is this? A new teaching and with authority? Well, there's no "and" there in the Greek at all. The word there is according to or with. The people say, "What is this? A new teaching according to or with authority?" They answer their own question. Jesus' teaching is new in that it is authoritative. The teachers of that day, they didn't teach authoritatively about much. They suggested and they supposed. They were so concerned about teaching the man-made laws and opinions of others that they had difficulty coming to a final conclusion about anything. They taught by the authority of others. Jesus taught with or according to his own authority. Do you see today what they saw then? Do you see that Jesus still speaks authoritatively today in his word and ministry? The word that Jesus said could not be broken, cannot be set aside by you, by governments, by science, by opinion. When the word says that God created the heavens and the earth, that Jonah was swallowed by a great fish, that iron floated, the Red Sea parted, and angels guard you and hell is real, do you see that means God's those are God's authoritative words for you today? In ancient times, kings would give fortunes. People would sacrifice everything just to hear an oracle from the gods, just to know what the gods were thinking about them or what they were doing. Do you ache, long, desire, or even just want to hear from the true God and to know what he thinks about you and your plans? Do you see what the people of Capernaum saw? They saw before them Jesus speaking as one with authority. Jesus says in Luke 10:16, not just to the apostles, but to the very first pastors, "He who hears you hears me." Is that how you hear words from this pulpit? And all the words hang together. People tend to want to dismiss a pastor's words of law, well, as his opinion. And they want to hold on to his words of gospel. Sorry, if my words of law don't authoritatively condemn you, my words of gospel can't release you with authority either. If you see what the Capernaumites saw, then you're astonished, you're stunned that God still speaks with authority on earth today. You hear him bellowing judgment and condemnation upon everyone who ignores his words, breaks his word, ridicules his word. You know that no one is going to get away with not believing. No one is going to get away with changing even a jot or a tittle of his word. And knowing this, You also know that Jesus still speaks an authoritative word of gospel today. His word of baptism really does drown your old Adam and gives birth to a new redeemed person. His absolution really does send your sins away from you. His communion really does put his body and blood on earth once more. The people saw an amazing teacher before them. Do you see what they saw? The demons saw who Jesus really was. Do you? The demon sees he's Jesus of Nazareth, and he's the Holy One of God. The demon sees Jesus as true man and true God. The demon sees what we sing in Epiphany. Jesus is God in man made manifest. Jesus is not just a good man. He's not just a great teacher. He's not just a supreme example. Jesus is God in flesh and blood. Now the people, they didn't see this much. In fact, it took a while before even Jesus' closest disciples saw this. Sadly, most never see it even to this day. John expresses it this way. Jesus was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. Have I been so long among you and still you don't recognize me? That's what Jesus will later ask the disciple Philip. Do you see as much as the evil spirit did? The people then did not. No, they said Jesus could not be true God because after all, he was true man. He couldn't be God in flesh and blood because people knew Jesus was born of Mary. They knew he had brothers and sisters. They knew he was trained as a carpenter. Do you see that the other gifts to us from God share the same problem? How can baptismal water be life-giving, water rich in grace? How can words from a pastor really lift sins off of me? How can that bread be the body of Jesus and that wine be his blood? Evil spirits don't make mistakes like this. Evil spirits aren't blinded by the human and earthly to the divine and heavenly. They see all the power of God in the person of Jesus. How about you? Do you see what the evil spirit sees? Actually, you better see more than he did. The evil spirit only saw part of Jesus' mission. Do you see it all? All of our popular English translations have the evil spirit asking, "Have you come to destroy us?" I've told you many times in Bible classes that punctuation is not inspired. It came centuries after the Bible was written. Luther took the evil spirit's question as a statement. And I agree. The evil spirit shrieks, "You have come to destroy us." And the evil spirit is spot on. 1 John 3:8 couldn't be plainer. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. And Hebrews 2:14 testifies to this as well. Since the children have flesh and blood, Jesus too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil. Do you see this too? Jesus came to destroy the devil and all his angels. Jesus describes himself as the stronger man who's able to defeat the strong man and plunder all his goods. Now that's a cool aspect of Jesus' ministry, sending demons into pigs and watching them run down the hill to drown. Commanding demons to put a muzzle on it and come out. Demons unable to stop themselves from running up to Jesus and falling down before him. But this raw power over demons wasn't all of Jesus' ministry. It wasn't even the main reason Jesus came. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That was mission number one. God could have destroyed all evil spirits without redeeming anyone. That work of power and might, that would have been awe-inspiring, but God the Son didn't need to take on flesh and blood to do it. You got to see what a pickle God was in for your sake. Because he loved the world, this fallen world that has so much to disgust even us sinners. Because he loved this world, he wouldn't just by power and might destroy its God, the devil, and his angels. As Hebrews 2 said, the devil did have the power of death over us. What gave him that power was God's authoritative word. God's word gave commandments to mankind. It promised grace and every blessing to all who keep them, and judgment, death, and damnation to those who do not. Haven't you ever been to court or in a disagreement with a company where you were in the right and you had the documents to prove it? You pointed to the words that proved you right, that gave you the power to do this or that. Well, that's the devil. Sure, he was damned once he rebelled, but God couldn't cast him out of heaven without taking away any chance for you ever to be in heaven. God's own word gave the devil access to heaven, as we see in Job 1, 2, and Revelation 12. The devil could point to God's own word and say, "You say they must do this, this, and that too, and if they don't do these things, you promise that they go to hell with me. Based on your own words, I demand they die right now." Now, God could have swatted the devil out of heaven with a little finger, but that wouldn't save you or silence the devil's accusations against you. What was needed was to take the law out of the devil's hand, both what it commands to be done and its promises of judgment. And God had to do it in such a way that both were kept. Surely you've done something like this with a child. He or she was commanded to do something or else. And for one reason or another, you didn't want to follow through with the punishment. But to go back on your word, well, that would be a very bad example. So what did you do? You found a way for the child to keep the command. Probably you helped him or her do it. That's something like God's plan, only his was far more radical. He sent his only son into our flesh and blood. How does Scripture put it? He was born under the law to redeem them that were under the law. Though true God, Jesus did not use his divine power to keep the law. No, to keep it in our place, he had to do so as a man. And he did. The commandments are fully, perfectly kept for you by Jesus. You are not to see them hanging over your head as have-tos, gottas, or musts. But there's still the judgments the law pronounces against the person who sins even once. Well, that can't be ignored either. Those had to be carried out. The devil had the power of death over man, any man who broke the law. Though Jesus did not break the law, God handed him over to the suffering and dying that we deserved, and he got them in full, all the way to hell itself. Jesus, having kept the law in place of all mankind, Jesus having suffered and died in place of all, what leg does the devil have to stand on now? What law can the devil accuse you of not keeping since Jesus kept them all? What punishment, what judgment, what condemnation can Jesus say you deserve since Jesus already endured all of that in your place? This right here is the teaching you are to see, to be astonished at and stunned by. By all means, see what the people and the evil spirit in our text did, but see more. See more than authoritative teaching. See more than power to destroy evil spirits. See authority over sins and the power to save sinners. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.